John 6:47-51, and Jesus said these words. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Let's pray. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Living Water, Bread of Life, the unfathomable Trinity, we are in awe of you. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you gave your Son, allowing him to take the wrath that we deserve, our bread of life, and that if we believe in him, we get the Holy Spirit to live inside us now, to help us in this, and seals us for life to come. Father, we would thank you, Lord, that we would one day live fully in your presence and experience an eternity of unimaginable discovery and amazing, never-ending growth and learning about our awesome God and his boundless creation. Thank you that we'll be able to love and serve you forever. We thank you for being with us in our church today. Father, we ask that you are with those of us who are not here today, for assisting in surgeries, for comforting in illness, for accompanying those on vacation and giving rest to the weary. We give this service and this day to you. We ask that you speak to us through Scott today. And Jesus, we pray these things in your great name. So be it. Amen.
Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. The Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up. And all the world will praise your great name.
And how about a hallelujah before you sit down? All right. Amen. Amen. Well, it's our privilege to come together and to worship today. And we got a great day of worship. Worship is more than singing. So we always want to understand that. It's the people who came to save, the folks who came and served us today, who are teaching the young people, are worshiping, the people who greeted you are worshiping, the people who made the coffee and everything, got that ready, they are worshiping God through their gifts and their desire to serve. Today we worship through singing, we're going to worship through the Word, we're going to worship through communion, we're going to worship through listening to some updates from our missions and our church planners today. And so what a great day to worship. Amen? Amen. So, you know, I've been carrying this bread around with me for a couple of weeks. I was told actually to make sure that everybody knew that I haven't been, it's not the same loaf, you know. So, because we've actually broken some up today and we're going to use it in our communion. But, you know, we sang about it. I don't even coordinate all the songs with the worship team, but I love what they sang today and how they picked songs and how they prayed and then they use, God allows them through the Holy Spirit to pray and sing about the bread of life or about the relationship with Jesus Christ that is continuing and ongoing for those who believe. And so we've been in this series. This is the second Sunday, Jesus is the bread of life. and part two in John chapter 6. And as we preach through the Gospel of John, remember, we've said this over and over, this series is about encountering Jesus Christ. And so today we're talking about encountering Jesus, the bread of life. Last week we said we were in the same scriptures. And so, I tell everybody, we've talked about food and my love for bread and all this other stuff. But I wanted a couple quick things I want to remind you about last week before we move over. First one is this. There are two kinds of food. You know, this is bread. This represents a lot of stuff that we need for sustenance. And, of course, it also represents the hard work and the things that we do in order to earn this stuff. And so I told you last week that food for the body, which is necessary, but it's not the most important. Food for the soul, which is essential and brings eternal life. And I want to distinguish that, because what we've done, you remember last week I said we must not allow ourselves to buy into the lie that the things of this world are the most important things. They're not. But we've been raised since we were young to think of jobs and houses and cars and all this stuff that we do, clothes and whatever it is, hobbies, whatever it is, that these are the things of life. Now, you know, the key word in this sentence is most important things. They're important, but they're not the most important thing. And that's important. See, the most important is Jesus. The most important is your soul. That's the most important thing about you. And then Jesus is the person who we said last week, Jesus, the bread of life, saves and satisfies our souls forever. That's huge. And so, as we look at just a small portion of John chapter 6 today, and Pastor Matt's going to finish that next week, but I want you to know the context of which Jesus is at. You see, we talked about the miracles where he preached on the mountain and he fed the 5,000. And so then he crosses over by a boat. He actually walked. He didn't cross. So he walked across the waters, and there he is. But he's at that point last week, he was with a crowd of people. In this section of John, he switches from the crowd of people now. According to verse 659, Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So now it's very important to understand where he is, because the language that he uses in these coming verses. Now Jesus is in a synagogue, which means that he's not talking to the masses of people. He's talking to the religious rulers of the day, the people that really didn't have much to do with Jesus. They kind of looked down at him because of he was just a carpenter's son. They knew him. They knew that just that was Jesus from Nazareth. He was Mary and Joseph boy. And so they didn't look too positive at Jesus. So he had a hostile audience. You know, it's not a really comfortable thing to have. I'm glad you all are not hostile. That's why we don't give you popcorn or things like that before the service starts. So anyway, so he's in the synagogue in Jerusalem. In Capernaum, excuse me. And what Jesus is about to, I'm going to read to you, is what they would call, people, a lot of people call, the hard sayings of the Bible. There are many hard sayings of the Bible. When you first read them, you're like, what is that? And Jesus is saying something that is very hard. It's hard to hear, and it's hard to understand, and it's hard to accept. But he was the master teacher. And so for him, he uses this type of teaching in order to get your attention. See, I'm going to tell you how this works. As a pastor, when I'm speaking, it's amazing how I can read this crowd of people. And so on a normal Sunday, if I'm just preaching right away, I'm looking around. You wouldn't believe as I'm talking what goes through my mind and what I see it comes through my mind. And I see a lot of people sometimes that aren't paying attention. But if I say a certain word or start talking about a certain subject, I'm serious. It's like all of a sudden you all lean forward and are looking and listening. If I talk about certain subjects or certain words, all of a sudden it's amazing just to see you all take, you all turn, your posture changes, and everything about you, I can tell that you're all waiting to see what Scott's going to say something that's true, or is he going to say something that's heresy? You know, I want to hear what he says because I got my opinion about this product. And you know what? I welcome that. I want you to listen real close. But this is what Jesus does. He's in this group of these highly religious people. They're the rulers, the rabbis, and the political leaders, and he's there. And so he says something very challenging to them. He'd say something like, you know, at Welsh, if you were in our normal Sunday, you're just all kind of, you know, because I know, your mind, sometimes people's minds wander when at church. But if I'd have said, you know that Wellspring Community Church teaches that Jesus teaches that you're supposed to hate your mother and father? Everybody go, what? How about Happy Mother's Day, by the way? Yeah. But Wellspring Community Church teaches you're supposed to hate your mother and father. I could just see everybody all of a sudden go, dude, what are you talking about, man? Because you know that in Luke, matter of fact, here's the scripture. Luke 14:26, Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, it's pretty tough words for a Mother's Day, Pastor Scott. His own father, hey, unless my wife, but hey, I can hear her, I can tell her voice from the sheep. All right, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be to my disciple. And so that kind of teaching is pretty strong. That's kind of hard, wouldn't you say? That's a little harsh. But see, what you don't understand is when I don't have time to teach this whole passage, I'm just trying to show you an example. What Jesus is trying to tell, if you study that whole section there, he's trying to say, hey, listen, I must be your first priority. If you're going to be my disciple, I must be first, above your family, above your parents, above your children, above everything. And we must love him more than the people we love here on earth. We must love him more than even our own lives. And you say, well, once you go through and study that whole thing, you'll start to see how he lays this out. But he says those words in order to do what? He was a master teacher. You see, I'm going to say this again, and I'll tell you all this again, is that we believe here at Wellspring Community Church that the Bible is our guide for life. And we are going to use this guide to practice life, practice our faith. We believe it. I'm going to tell you right now, we use this to practice our faith. So listen to this. Here's what I want you to do. And this is what I try to do. We must approach the hard sayings of the Bible with a posture of humility to understand them. You see, the problem was that where Jesus is speaking to this crowd in Capernaum, these religious people, they're looking down on him because he's uneducated. And their hearts were proud because of their education and because they thought they were the, you know, hey, I'm the one. We're the people that we're gonna teach. And they did not embrace his teachings with humility. All I'm asking you to do this. Approach the things that you don't understand, the hard things of the Bible, with humility, and Jesus will teach you. Humility. It's a great theme of the Bible. It's a constant theme of the Bible. So, here's the good news. Everybody want some good news? There are more positive promises of God in the Bible than there are hard sayings. That's true. And the majority, there's a lot of promises. The majority of them are positive. Now, Jesus in 640, here's an example of that. Okay, here's a promise. For it is my Father's will. Let's all read it together. You ready? For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. What's the promise? He's going to raise us up on the last day, right? There's a promise right there. What's the condition? Oh, what? Hold it. Huh? What's it say there? Yeah, we have to see and believe. We have to believe in all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. And so that's a positive promise. Let me show you another negative. Let me show you another promise. Excuse me, I'm giving away my sermon already. Here, let me show you another one. Let's read this together. You ready? Then the Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. What's the promise? What's that? What's the promise? You will have no life. The promise is, well, you'll have no life. He's, what's the condition? Unless you believe. He says, unless you eat my flesh. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life. That's a pretty hard saying, isn't it? But Jesus makes a promise there. If you don't do this, you will have no life in you. Now, see, God's promises can have a negative result to them. He's really simply saying, listen, if you reject Jesus Christ, if anybody rejects Jesus, there's going to be no life in them. No life. All right. John 6:54-57. So we're not going to cover all this word for word today because of communion and some other things. It says here, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he'll also live because of me. Now, I got to tell you, I said, this is John chapter 6. It's one of the most challenging, hard sayings of the Bible. What is interesting is Jesus, again, he's in the synagogue. He's teaching these people. So he doesn't just say, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm really sorry that you don't understand this. Let me try to explain it to you simpler. Look what he does. He actually ratchets it up. He ratchets his tone up. He makes it even harder. He confronts their pride, their stubborn unbelief, and he doesn't tone down his rhetoric, his shocking statements, his hard teachings. He actually makes it even harder for them to swallow. Forget the pun there. Forgive the pun, I should say. He says, not only you got to eat my flesh, but now he tells a whole bunch of Jewish people, you have to drink my blood. And if you understand the teachings of that, the Jews do not drink or eat anything with blood in it. It was taught and commanded by God back in the days of Moses that the Jews shall not drink blood, or they shall not eat any flesh with blood in it. That's why I say it's hard for them to swallow. God prohibited them from doing this. And he said, whoever does this in my, you know, and here's these millions of people that Moses leading, said, anybody does this, they're supposed to be cut off from the land, cut off from the people, cut off from God. That's what he's saying. Wow. I know some of you are going, does that mean, Pastor Scott, we can't eat rare steak anymore? Because that's where thoughts do come. I don't know, I think that way sometimes. Does God really mean we can't eat rare? No, that's not, this was a whole deal for Israel. But God says, and so you can see how Jesus even made it harder for them to understand it. For it actually even turned up their pride, their unwillingness, their angst against Jesus Christ. But he said, by him telling him to drink their blood, to drink his blood. Because all life of the flesh, its blood, as of all life of the flesh, its blood is identified with it, with what gives life, right? So I just want to assure you, Jesus is not talking about cannibalism, okay? Let's be clear about that. When he was speaking of eating and eat his flesh and drinking his blood, he was trying to give this spiritual truth, this physical illustration. That's why he knew of the days. You see, at the days when Jesus was this whole thing about bread, it was a big deal because, you know, my mom's 90, and you know what she told me? That just having bread was the sustenance of life. I mean, a lot of folks who live, you know, back in the days of Depression and right after that, through the 30s and 40s, you know, they were just happy to have bread. And back in those days, it was a big deal. They were just to have bread. And so when Jesus uses the physical illustration of bread, it says a lot. And it says a lot. And so when he talks about the flesh and blood, it's again another physical illustration of a spiritual truth. So we're talking about eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood. And as I studied this, the first thing I thought to myself, oh, great, it's Communion Sunday. Let me clear a couple things up for you guys. It is. Today's Communion Sunday. I don't know if you guys can see this, but we have the bread and the cup here. And I'm thinking, Lord, why did we have to preach this message on this day? Because I don't want people to get confused about communion. This passage here that Jesus is talking about is not about communion. See, Jesus had not started the practice of communion. Remember, when did he start that? In the upper room, when he was with the disciples. So he's way, ways from that. Communion does also, we understand that communion doesn't give eternal life. Only Jesus can do that. And then when he established communion, he established it for people who have already put their faith in Jesus Christ so that they continually remember him. That's why we celebrate communion, is that we remember the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ until he comes back. And so it's really prepared for people who are authentic believers. And so I wanted to make one other point clear. Here at Wellspring Community Church, we do not teach that the body and the blood of Christ are literally present in this bread and juice. There are other denominations that teach that, but I just can't find that in the Bible anywhere. When you study the Greek and when you study all the Hebrews and you put all this together, it's not there. And so I wanted to make sure, since we're teaching this today, it's on the same day of communion, that I want to be clear. Now, if you'd like to talk about some more of that stuff, you can see one of the elders about that. But what happened was, people keep missing the point. Remember, that's what I've been saying the last couple Sundays in John chapter 6. They didn't understand the bread and the fishes, the loaf and the fishes. They didn't understand, there was a lot of misunderstanding about how Jesus got across the other side and him walking on the water and what all that meant. And so these people here, even in the synagogue, misunderstand Christ because of the symbolism and the imagery. So sometimes, I said this before, sometimes we get so focused on the things that are in front of us that we can't see the peripheral or the spiritual things to life. The biggest things, we want eyes that when we see things in life, now I don't want to over spiritualize things too, please don't get, but there always is usually a spiritual aspect to something that God is trying to reveal to us when we go through life. And so when we see something, whether it's a problem in our life or it's a blessing in it, something positives in our life, whatever that is, we need to make sure that we understand that we're seeing, as followers of Jesus Christ, the whole picture, and not just on focused on, you know, those guys were focused on eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And it really took them down a wrong path. From that point on, those people, these religious leaders, they get to the point where they hate Jesus, they conspire to kill Jesus, and then they finally do what? They do kill him. So to take this literally, to take this as the true flesh and the true Jesus' true blood, is to make the same mistake as those people were making. All right. All I can say is this. Faith in Jesus results in eternal life, not taking communion, not by taking communion. So Jesus continually, through these next passages, repeats these verses, eat his flesh, drink his blood. He's using the metaphor. And I think one of the things as we go through the rest of this, like I said, we're not going to be able to cover it verse by verse today. But Jesus, one, he's trying to let everybody know that he is going to go to the cross. He is sacrificing his flesh and his blood for mankind. So he's trying to give us an early picture of the cross. He is also, speaking of his death and that, he's also trying to tell us what real soul food is, and that's him. He is the bread of life. Yeah, I think he also was trying to tell us, as we continue to go through and see the promises here in John chapter 6, that he's going to be raised up in the last day. But I want to tell you one of the key things, as you look through this scripture, you'll understand when Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, here's one thing you don't want to misunderstand. Not only will you have eternal life, but you have a union with Jesus Christ. We sang it in your song, or Laura prayed it, I can't remember, that it'll last forever. It'll last forever. Matter of fact, I pulled up, we're going to study this more in the future. So that's the beautiful thing about John. There's several subjects that we get to study a little bit more, a little more in depth. So John chapter 14 says this. Let's read this again. You ready? Together. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. You understand that? Jesus in the Father. Jesus says, I'm in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. When someone comes and believes in Jesus, it results in a personal relationship that is instantaneously and lasts to infinity and... I know. We had Buzz Lightyear for a long time at my house. Infinity and beyond. Lord, I pray that when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And we're going to talk more about that, but no one can come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws him. And once you draw him and you make that decision to receive him, you receive that free gift, you have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's Christ living in you. And Paul writes in some other places in the Bible, Galatians 2:20, he says this. This is one of the early first verses that I've ever memorized. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer what? But Christ... And the life I live in the body, I live by what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. Then in Colossians, he wrote this. Now listen to this. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What's the mystery? Yeah. See, the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, that's important. Jesus in you. And you and Jesus. You got to understand that. You got to know it. You got to experience it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And that's what I tell people. I said, listen, don't tell me you've always believed. There has to be a point in your life where you truly made that commitment to Christ. And I said this before, I was just going along in life, and then Christ knocked on the door. You see, at first I thought I found Jesus. What's wrong with that statement? Yeah. What else? Yeah, well, Jesus wasn't lost. Who was lost? Yeah, Jesus found Scott. I didn't find Jesus. That's what I thought at first. I found Jesus, then I realized, oh, I'm the one that was lost. Jesus was there. He found me. And so he took me from there to totally in a different direction in my life. Now, a lot of things didn't change except for right here, the battlefield of the mind. Scott Moore's thinking started to change. When Scott's thinking started to change with the help of God's word, that's when things started to happen. Now, it was pretty crazy for a while, wasn't it, honey? I mean, you know, when you start to make transitions, somebody told me the other day that people were against them because their life was being changed. And I said, praise God. That tells me it's real. Not because you're trying to be in somebody's faith. Is it that... He was just simply living out his faith, just doing the simple things, coming to church, having faith, just trying to do the simple things as a new believer does. And people are already seeing the change, and you know what? They don't like that. And it's not in your face. It's not, it's not that kind of stuff. It's just that when people see the change, the new person, sometimes the people connected to the old person, they don't like it, or they think he joined a cult. And so... Here's all I can tell you. Paul said this as we kind of go down this direction. He said, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. And that's all I can tell you is that if you know for sure, you see, I know God's spirit speaks to my spirit. I know I'm a child of God. His word says it. His spirit tells me. Other people have confirmed it in my life. And so if you're here today, I put that question to you just like Paul said, examine yourself. If your faith, you know, the good thing about this is, what did we say about the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ? How much does that cost? It's free. Who's got a better plan for eternal life? Everything that you're doing and living for right now, what's that going to matter 200 years from now? It's not. The only thing that's going to be important is your soul and where you are. And so I tell you today, examine yourself. to see if that your faith is genuine. Test yourself, he says, to see if you're there. And it's simple. We know that the Bible and historically that Jesus Christ has come. And the scripture tells us, and we know historically that people outside the Bible have proclaimed that Christ came, that he was crucified. And so we know that he had risen from the dead. And so Jesus Christ, through the word of God and through the reality of his resurrection and what he is doing around this world, we understand this to be true. And we are in him who is true and faithful, and he gives us some great promises, some sure promises of the future of having eternal life. Now, I want to read you a story. I just read this. It was so powerful, I had to share it with you. This guy on the, let's see, your left here, his name's Andrew Chan. And you can see that his birth date was 1984. His death, it was 2015. The other guy next to him was, now when you look at those pictures, you think, where are those guys at? Well, that's a picture of these two guys in prison. Andrew Chan, the man on the left, was a member of the Bali Nine. They were drug smugglers who were arrested in Indonesia. And they were all executed on April 29th, 2015. They were executed by firing squad. Now, May 8th, which was 2 days ago, they just had their Andrew Chan's funeral at Hillsong Church in Sydney. Everybody here heard of Hillsong Church? Well, the pastor is Brian Houston. And Pastor Brian regularly communicated with Sydney through letters, and I guess he was able to use some email or something. And so Pastor Brian said that had not these men, especially Andrew Chan, accepted the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, but they also rehabilitated themselves to be upstanding members of a prison system. Upstanding members of a prison system. Even in jail, they made a positive contribution to the lives of other prisoners, and they sought to pay their debt to society. He said, I've had the pleasure of speaking with Andrew Chan almost every day, and his faith and strength under extreme duress have inspired me. Chan wrote his own eulogy. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about doing the same thing one of these days. I like this idea. He says, thank you all for gathering here on this day to witness something great. This is Chan writing at his own funeral, the reading this. It's the day that I will rise from my own coffin, right? Now, as the word spoken in Jesus' name, arise. Or I might just be enjoying heaven too much, and I'll wait for you all up here. He says, my last moments on here on earth, I sing out hallelujah. I ran the good race. I fought the good fight and came out a winner in God's eyes. I do have a story to tell, and that story is not only that story is determined by you all and how you witness about this. And he says, ask yourself, what did I leave with you? That will determine your legacy. You see, Chan became a Christian while in solitary confinement. It wasn't until, he said, it wasn't until I was in solitary that I felt the need to be on the right side of God. After reading through the New Testament 4 times, I was on my knees and I cried for the first time in years, he said. He continued, just before my court date where he would receive death, the death penalty, I remember reading Mark 11, 23-24, where it says that if you have enough faith, you can say to this mountain, be removed and God will do it. So I said, God, if you're real and this is true, I want you to free me. And if you do, I'll serve you every day of the rest of my life. You know how many times people have promised God and made promises about God to get them out of something? So I went to my court hearing and they convicted me and gave me the death penalty. He said, I went back to my cell and I said, God, I ask you to set me free by faith and not kill me. And God spoke to him and said, Andrew, I have set you free from the inside out and I have given you life. And Andrew Chan wrote, from that moment, I haven't stopped worshiping him. He said, I had never sung before and never led a worship service until Jesus set me free. Andrew Chan went on to study theology and became an ordained pastor while he was in prison. He taught Bible classes, ran a cooking school, and was actually featured in an anti-drug documentary for school students in Indonesia while he was in prison. Salvation Army Major David Roper counseled with Chan the minutes before his death on April 29th in this Indonesian prison. He was prepared to meet his maker, he said. I saw great courage and strength. I saw peace and assurance. I saw radiant beauty and joy. And he said, the Major Roper said, I will never forget it. He said Andrew Chan prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not what they do, was his last prayer with him. And Andrew Chan led all those men out to the field. It says he led all those prisoners walking to the place where they're going to kill them. When their voices started, they were singing all the way out to this field. And it said when their voices started to slow down, when they started to step out into the field, Andrew said, come on, boys, we can sing better than this. When they entered the field, they sang Amazing Grace. When they tied up their hands, they sang 10,000 Reasons. And so they get, and I asked Jessica to put this up here for us. When they got to, so they started out, bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. That's the chorus. They get to the first verse, and they sang that. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song of praise, a song again. They get to the second chorus. Whatever may pass, whatever my life before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. And that's when the bullets rang out. And that's when the singing stopped. All the men were blindfolded except for Andrew Chan. He didn't want a blindfold. He wanted to keep his glasses on because he wanted them people, everyone, to look him in the eyes as he was singing and as he stepped into eternity. See, he understood this scripture out of John 6, 51 and 58. I am the living bread. I put these two scriptures together. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread of the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. I'll say this again. Jesus is the bread of life that satisfies and saves forever. So the question that you have to deal with, who do I believe Jesus is? That's what I want everybody to have that answer. Because you know what? Jesus wants to rescue all from prison. He wanted to rescue me from the prison of sin and death. He wanted to rescue some of us. He wants to rescue from the prison of your past. Some people, yeah, they're in prison like that man. And that man was rescued there. I don't know where you're at today, whether you're a prisoner of your past. I do know that everybody, until they receive Jesus Christ as the bread of life, their Lord and Savior, you are in the prison of sin and death. Well, let's bow our heads and prepare ourselves if anybody's here today, I guess I want to say this. If you're here today and you have not allow Jesus Christ to rescue you, and you're in that prison, the first thing you do is say, if you're here today, is Jesus, just say this to yourself, I believe in you. I want to put my faith in you today. If you're here today, pray that prayer. Just, I want to put my faith in you. Come into my life. Help me to know that you're in me, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my past. Change my thinking and change my life. I believe that you're able to do this. So come and show me. Help me follow you the rest of my days. Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, I'm just so excited. I want you to know that, again, Christ died on that cross. He rose from the grave. And we celebrate that today through communion. So I'd like to bring the worship team forward. Today we're going to do something a little different on communion-wise. So I'll let Mark fill you on what's going on.
We realize that everybody worships to God in a different way and prepares for communion in a different way. Today we just want to offer a song up to God that helps us to reflect on our own lives and where we're at. And I hope that this song can help you do that. Jesus, I've forgotten the words that you have spoken. Promises that burned within my heart have now grown dim. With a doubt I follow the paths of earthly wisdom. Forgive me for my unbelief. Renew the fire again. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
An altar where I've worshipped things of man. I have taken journeys that have drawn me far from you. Now I am returning to your mercies ever flowing. Pardon my transgressions, help me love you again.
Lord, mercy, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me.
I have longed to know you and all your tender mercies, like a river of forgiveness, ever flowing without end. So I bow my heart before you in the goodness of your presence, your grace forever shining like a beacon in the night.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me.
Scott said we're going to do communion a little differently today. When we're ready to have communion, Scott and I will hold the basket of the bread and the cup, and you'll take a piece of the bread and dip it in the cup and take it. So we'll have you come forward and do that. If you're not able to come forward, you know, flag us and we will come to you. So today we're going to celebrate communion. It's a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. So if you've by faith taken Jesus in to be your Savior and your Lord, even today, if you've taken the bread of Christ, who Christ is, the spiritual bread into you, and you're saved, you're welcome to join us. This is open communion we practice here. You don't have to be a member of our church. We only ask that you be saved and that you be walking with Christ. That's the only requirements there is. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, Paul wrote of the communion the words of Jesus, where Jesus says, "This is my body, which is for you. The cup of the new covenant, my blood, which is shed for you." Jesus further said, "This cup and this body, this blood are my body. This bread is my body. This cup is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." So we do this as a remembrance of Christ and what he's done for us. He's changed every one of us that have come to him in real meaningful ways, just as Pastor Chan there, the former drug dealer who died praising him. I mean, this blows me away, because in Borneo and that area in Indonesia, there's people who used to be cannibals who are doing the same communion now. I've met some of those folks, their grandkids, who talked about their grandparents who were cannibals and headhunters. And now these are Christians who take the body of Christ and the blood of Christ into them for their salvation. But now we do that as a remembrance, and that symbolism is a remembrance of us absorbing him into us forever. So with that, let's start. I'm going to say a prayer. And you prepare your hearts. If you're saved and have a clear conscience with Christ, come forward and partake. Lord, we lift this up to you. We just praise you for what you're doing in the world. We thank you for giving your body and shedding your blood for us and offering this eternal life for us, this transforming power that can take the foulest drug dealer and make him into just an amazing testimony. Thank you for what you've done in each one of our lives, and we praise you, and with that, we commemorate this death of yours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, make your way to the front, to Scott and I, and partake. So remember, we've done this in remembrance of him and all he's done, not only for us, but for believers all over the world. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you. We again give you praise. We give you all the glory for what you've done and what you're going to do in the future and what you are doing all over the world. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you for being our bread that gives us life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. Missions. We're going to do our quarterly missions update. We got a couple things we're going to talk about. Denise, there she is. Come on up. Come on up. Come on down. Yeah, let's check. Ecuador. What's new in Ecuador?
Okay. Well, they just called me today for Mother's Day, and they could really use your prayers as they are in a
who are they? Ecuador. Yes,
explain who my daughter is. Naomi and her son. Her husband, Joshua, my son-in-law, they live in Quito, Ecuador, and they have been living there for several years. They are missionaries with the Covenant Evangelical Church, and he has been working discipling and working under the president of the Covenant. And there have, unfortunately, as in the world, even in the mission world, there's personality differences, differences in leadership beliefs. So they've come to an impasse with the president, and he is probably going to be resigning very shortly, but he wants to do it in a timely way. He has definitely tried every avenue to try to resolve the differences, but things have not worked out. So I was encouraging them also with Psalm 37, which is a verse that several verses are actually the whole Psalm 37, has been a great comfort to me, and maybe look it over this week, where it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Trust in him, and he will do it." So they're at an impasse, as Pastor said in one of his emails. God is up to something, because they've tried every avenue to resolve the differences. There's still differences, so they have to go on to some other work, or maybe go, they don't know. Right now, they do not know where to go and what to do. So, actually, I think that's a wonderful place to be in our Christian walk, because you're totally resting in the Lord. Mm-hmm. What is he going to do? So I said, just trust in him. He's going to show. So, and also they're trying to have a family. So there's a lot of stress going on. So they could really, really use your prayers. They really would greatly appreciate it. So thank you very much.
Okay. Are they going to be here this summer then?
Yes, they will.
Okay. Great, great. Thanks for that update. Yeah, all that visa stuff and all that, you know, if you've never dealt with foreign governments for visas or paper, red tape is just unbelievable. You know, I mean, our IRS is nothing. They're amateurs compared to those guys. So, okay, a quick Mexico update. The Mexico team had our first meeting a week or so ago, and there's, how many is there? Seven of us? Seven of us right now. So there is still room. We haven't bought our plane tickets, so if you're thinking of Mexico, talk to me or Bonnie. Oh. That was the next thing I was going to go to. Right now the dates are September 19th to 26th, but we are looking at bumping that back to October. That might, the team that's assembled, that will work better for all of our schedules. So, so the dates aren't chiseled in stone yet. So we'll probably nail those down within the next week or two, though. So, so stay tuned. So if you are interested in going in October, let us know. And food's great. You gotta love it, you know. So, but either way, pray for us because we got a lot to do. And even though you know October is a ways off, it'll get here soon. So there's passports and plane tickets and crafts to be planned and all that. So, yeah, Puebla, Mexico is where we go to the Esperanza Viva Children's Home there. And Puebla is where mole was invented, if you into Mexican food. So. As you can see, that's near and dear to my heart, too. So anyway, so pray for the Mexico team. We're anticipating October as our date right now, and we'll keep you informed. So, all right. You know, church planning, we want to touch on that this morning, too. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, you know, go to Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Well, church planning in our area affects our Samaria. We've got, you know, portion of the money that goes to the district from our church is dedicated to church planting efforts. The district identifies church planters, trains them, screens them, and coaches them in what they do. And as a church, we can get directly involved in some of these local church plants. I don't know if you remember last year at our church picnic, Pastor Florin and his wife, the group that they're with brought some people who joined us in our baptism service out there. So those are some of the direct ways, and we were involved with the church plant in Fond du Lac somewhat too. And so it's something that directly affects us. It's exciting to see these people. I sat in a meeting with some of these church planters that Scott and I were at in the Dells, and to hear them talk out of the box about how they want to reach people, and it was just very, very exciting. Now, okay, you want to back up one more? Here we go. Agape Church is Pastor Florin. He's starting this church in Pewaukee. They just started meeting weekly on Sundays for the first time like a week ago, I think. So it's real exciting. They got people coming. They've got a location in downtown Pewaukee. I read their webpage this morning. A lot of exciting stuff going there. They're brainstorming on how to reach that area down there for the gospel. So keep them in prayer. Now, this is a new church. They've just started meeting. They got a core group of people. So who knows what the Lord will do, because I want to show the Thrive. Thrive Church, just not too many years ago, was in the same boat as Pastor Florin's Agape Church, where they were just starting. There was nothing. You know, they started with just a few people. Now they've got a location. They're growing. They've almost outgrown their new location. They're an established church that functions on its own, not a plant no more. They are a church, and they are making an impact in the Fond du Lac area, not only with the gospel, but they're getting involved with foster care and encouraging foster parents and, you know, community outreach as well as part of their gospel outreach. So it's been real exciting, and this church had a hand in that. We helped financially and in other ways encourage them get that going. So church planting is part of our missions outreach here. It's something the missions committee monitors, and we're always looking for ways that we can get involved and help these folks. So exciting stuff. So stay tuned with Agape and these other church plants that are going on. There's other ones that I didn't have up on the slide there in Milwaukee. There's a lot of action in this area. So, and you guys are a part of supporting that. And the mission committee, like I say, they monitor and look for ways that we can get everybody out. So that's our missions update for now. And again, I just want to say that, you know, pray for Indonesia. When I was there, I was amazed at how many Christians are there. Don't believe the press. There's more than 2%. It's more like 10%, and they're active. We saw people getting saved. There's churches in Banda where the tsunami was, where Sharia law was supposed to take place. Now there's churches there. So, and ex-cannibals. So,
well, all right. Couple quick updates on our bulletin. Now, if you're a guest here today, we have this tear off, and we'd love for you just to fill out, give us your name and a number. We'll just send you an email. We'll thank you. We're not going to go over to your house and bug you or anything like that. So if you're a guest here, just do us a favor. Let us know you joined us, and if you got any prayer requests or anything like that, just fill this out. And we have an offering box right when you walk out. You can stick that in there. So anything you want to communicate to us is that. And so I'm expecting, Sandra, you should fill out one of these today because it's been so long since you've been here that we have to get your information. Anyway, happy Mother's Day anyway, by the way. All right. Some quick things. May 14th, Washington County, at the Washington County Fairgrounds, is the County Law Enforcement Memorial at 7 p.m. at the Washington County Fairgrounds. It's 7 p.m. Laura's going to be singing the national anthem. It's Germantown's turn to host the event. But, two more police officers were killed yesterday. Last night, in Texas. Was it Texas? Mississippi. So this is a very important. Come and join us as we celebrate those who have lost their lives in Washington County over the years. And then next Sunday is Stepping Up for Shine. So what we'll have is the young people who are going to be graduating out of Shine ministry, the children's ministry, into the youth ministry. We're going to have a little graduation step-up thing. Laura has that plan. Laura Haybath. So missions, all this stuff. There's a lot of stuff. The offering is boxes out there. That's where that's happening. A lot of great stuff. God is doing a lot of things. I'm going to tell you something. You don't see it. Pastor Dwayne didn't mention it, but Steve and Martha Farina, are they going to be the church planters in West Bend? And I want to tell you something. I've been working with them. I'm his coach. And Steve and Martha here's their vision. There's no worship services strictly for the young people who have special needs. They're going to start a worship service for people with special needs. Things are already starting to happen. It's amazing what God is doing. Lamira, Ray and his wife, Lisa Labatt, have moved to Lamira, and they're going to start. Your money that you give to this church, we don't just like hoard it. It goes out to Ecuador and to Germany, to Bob and Carol Marsh, who will be back with us this summer. It goes to these towns around here where we're supporting these people to make a living, to start churches. And they have a real burden for God, and they're making a difference. So it's just amazing. And then I can't tell you the lives that are being changed. You don't get to see everything I do, and I wish I could. And I'm always asking people, would you come forward and tell us? God is working, ladies and gentlemen. So let's stand. God is faithful. Let's sing this closing song.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day.
rich in love.
You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart. Worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. Is always by my side, the one who reigns forever. He is a friend of mine, the God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind, the God of angel armies is always by my side, the one who
Do we have Tom and Maggie up there? Before you leave today, if you want to say hi on FaceTime to Maggie and Tom there. Maggie's in the hospital room in Madison, and she's fighting cancer right now, one of our members of our church. So I want to leave you with this blessing. It's for you, Maggie, as well. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this blessing. Receive it. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.